Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. Normal service has resumed. It's just the two of us for a change.
Aw, isn't that cute?
Bit wholesome, cute and adorable, mm-hmm. Perfect, all that kind of stuff.
Excellent.
Oh, I've now got a second dog barking at the door. So Max.
Is this his friend?
So obviously Max Busser. Mm-hmm. This is Jean-Claude, or this is Beaver the dog, named after Jean-Claude.
Not your favourite thing.
He's now barking at me, or she. Actually, she's a she, but there we go. Anyway, okay. Moving swiftly on.
Excellent. How are things, Rick?
Not bad. The days are long. I mean, 1 month is kind of just merging into another. Mm-hmm. Any minute now, Christmas is going to be here, and we're going to have no idea what happened in the last 7 months.
That's true.
It really is quite odd. It's taking on a scale of oddness that is hereforth unknown. I just don't... It's just really weird. Like, the days are very, very similar. Mm-hmm. Like, I think folk have now got themselves into a routine.
Well, this week feels like a Tuesday.
Does it? Is it? The whole week feels mm-hmm. like a Tuesday?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Why, what does a Tuesday feel like?
Like this week.
All right, okay. But describe the, you know, the core constituencies of a Tuesday.
A Tuesday is when the weekend is a distant memory. The next weekend mm-hmm. is an even further distant future memory. And you've got rid of Monday, but you haven't really greased into being midweek yet. So it's a little bit, it's okay.
So what is your favourite day of the week?
At the moment? Uh-huh. Doesn't matter, they're all the same.
They're all the same. You know that no one's ever written a song about Thursday?
Okay.
Pop quiz. So you've got, tell me why I don't like Mondays, mm-hmm. Sunday bloody Sunday, mm-hmm. Saturday's all right for fighting, mm-hmm. and there's other songs about other days of the week, but there's no very famous songs about Thursday.
Fair enough. Well, we can sort that out. We'll sort that out. And speaking of pop quizzes, one of the things I've done this week is I've went through some classic TV and movies, including Jurassic Park for the first time ever.
All right, okay. Is that because it's now, as of this week, free on Amazon Prime?
It's always been free in the Pirate Bay.
Has it? Okay,
so
that's fine.
Check that out. And then you were talking about pop quiz there. I watched Speed, and I've not seen that for many a year.
Yes.
And that is all about time, naturally. Mm-hmm. And so many watches in that movie, all the way through. There was the guy that was in Ferris Bueller, can't remember the guy's name, Rick, no, what is it? Some dude that's in Ferris Bueller was wearing a calculator watch. Keanu Reeves is wearing a G-Shock 5600. And then afterwards, I always go on IMDb to see, you know, what's behind the scenes, what's the trivia, what are the goofs. And they actually said that G-Shock had stopped making that watch because it hadn't sold as well. And then when Speed came out in 1994, there was a massive surge in popularity of it. So Casio G-Shock decided they would start making and selling it again.
All right, okay, cool.
Yep, so I've
watched a film. I've actually watched a couple of films.
Okay,
so
Ben-Hur?
So, you know, we need to do the welcome to Scottish Watches, because mm-hmm. we need to try and get this thing rated as a film review show as well. Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah.
A decent film. I mean,
any watch,
you know,
content?
Very self. There wasn't a great deal, I thought, considering the context. Mm-hmm. However, I then watched the worst film ever made.
Plan 9 from Outer Space?
No. It knows it's the worst film ever made, but it does actually have some decent watch content. It is a film called Bulla Quo, and it features Status Quo. And believe it or not, I mean, it was made. For tax reasons, because they owed the British government lots of tax. So instead, you get discounts for making films tax. So they wrote off some of that by making a film in Fiji. And it knows it's rubbish, and that's actually what's really funny about it. But there's some quite decent watch content. There's a Cartier, there's a couple of watches. I can't quite identify what they are, but they're obviously reasonable pieces, because it's well-off rock stars that are wearing them. There's a nice Rolex, which I don't think it's a sub. I think it might be a Seedweller. Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's our cultural reference for today, Bad Boys for Life and Bulla Quo.
Well, there's been a few other things I've watched. I watched almost halfway through the first season of the rebooted Outer Limits from the mid-90s, because I remember it when I was at school, and I don't remember it being this shit.
Oh, there was one in that where, I can't quite remember the context, but the guy grows eyes in the back of his head.
Right.
Because it's something to do with ants, I seem to recall. Maybe mixing two of the programmes up.
You're mixing quite a few of them together there.
There was also one where there's a big glass box that's got like anthills and stuff in it.
Yeah, that was the... I think that's the second episode. First or second.
Right, that was a cool one. But I think there's one where the guy develops like a defense mechanism.
Right.
And the ultimate defense mechanism is for him to have eyes in the back of his head.
So thanks for ruining that one, Rick. That's appreciated.
No problem. Because it was only launched in the 1990s. It's fine. Yeah. Do catch up.
Well, I'm trying my best. So that's what I've been up to anyway, plus all kinds of other stuff. But it's time to do a wrist check. So what you got on?
Yes, I have got on something a bit different.
Mm.
I've got on the Panerai 8D. I'm wearing the Panerai. Wowed you all into a false sense of security there.
You did.
You were all getting slightly excited that I was wearing something different.
A little bit moist, not going to lie. Okay. But as a man of God, you shouldn't be lying to people, especially not me. Your trusted and dear confidant. I mean, what's going on in the world? Well, today, to celebrate something that happened the other day, I am wearing the prototype MAS JCB watch because those guys were on Kickstarter to try and get this one pushed through. And I learned a lot about Kickstarter, not just for watches, but in general. And there are these guys called super backers or something along those lines, I was told. And what can happen is they can go in and put a lot of money behind a project, and the project thinks, good, we're on our way, you know, there's some money coming in, this is going to get backed. And then at the last minute, they pull their money, and some kind of gamification thing where they go up and, you know, they get the accolade of being a super backer, even though they've withdrawn thousands of pounds towards each of these things, and it totally screws over the company that's trying to produce the product, and they walk around with this little sticker on their username, acting like big swinging dicks. All right. So it was all a bit touch and go because a few people were playing that game, but no, it got past the post and that watch is going into production. So I'm going to be sending this little prototype back, although it tells time and it looks the part. There's a couple of rough edges and things, so they want it back, which is absolutely fine because I actually send watches back that come in for review, Rick. You should try that sometime.
Yeah.
It's quite good. I know it's an acquired taste.
I do need to send some back. Yeah, it's true.
I think you do.
I've got this Hanhart Desert Pilot.
I like that
cracking
one.
Watch.
I like that one.
It is good. We need to figure out what we're going to do with it because obviously I'm here with the watch and you're there with the ability to take decent photographs.
Mm. Send it to me, but don't send it via FedEx because that's how you end up with watches stuck in customs for weeks. Hi, Sophie from Talker. Turns out if you send something to a residential address with the name of a blog on the top of it, it causes all kinds of trouble with addressing systems and link-ups and all the rest of it. So no Talker reviews just yet, but apparently they are on the case. But yes, that's what I've got today on little MAS. It's definitely not my style because I'm not into the dress watch thing with this kind of leather crocodile look on the strap, but no, it's a great wee watch and it's got a thistle on the back, and hey, that's as much Scottishness as we need to mention it in the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've also been editing some more videos. So if you guys haven't been on our YouTube channel, go check stuff out. We have got, over the last couple of weeks, quite a bit. We've got a talk show edition with Robin from Moritz Grotzman, which has gone down very well. How do I describe that one? It's not common or garden watch content. So the view count on it hasn't been massively high, but the interaction on it, the amount of people that commented and got in touch who have looked at it and watched what those guys have been up to over the past decade or so with creating some insane technology, reinventing the wheel a couple of times with older things from the past, bringing them bang up to date with modern CNC machining and whatnot. Good video to check out. Also quite a few from Pietro at the Limited Edition. We've got the HYT video that was out a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, what was the one we did last week? I can't even remember.
The Joker watch.
Ah, that was it. It was the Joker watches, which is Constantine Chaikin, and quite a collection. We had three of them, I think, and we had a clown and two of the Night Jokers, plus a sort of history of Russian watchmaking, what Constantine Chaikin's been up to, plus some behind-the-scenes footage, courtesy of Mark over at The Watches TV. So there was a lot of good stuff in there, and there's more stuff coming soon, so be sure to subscribe and also get on our Instagram and follow us, because we are at the vinegar strokes of 10,000 followers, and we'd need to be pushed past the post so we can have all the fun stuff available at our disposal.
Cool. So, talk to me about watches.
Watches. Well, there are some releases out, so let's get Bodeep straight away. Now, TAG, who have a checkered history over the past of releasing watches and then trying to delete them off the internet when things fall out the back, they're back. They've got a couple of watches. One's really nice. It's the TAG Heuer Monaco Grand Prix de Monaco Historique Limited Edition. Don't know if you've seen this one yet. It's obviously...
So they're really into their short names.
Yeah, they do like that. I mean, it's reminiscent of buying a PC motherboard and trying to read the description off the back in the model name. Because the one I got for my new PC is the MSI X570 Gaming Edge Plus Wi-Fi. Now, there's a mouthful for you. But anyway, that's what I know. It's good I can remember these things. It's amazing that I remember this. It's almost as if I've been dealing with technical support about this motherboard with certain problems. But anyway, never mind. So this tag, really nice. Obviously, square case, that's what they're like.
Do you think it's really nice?
I do, because it's red. And I've got a thing for red tag square watches, because the limited edition one they brought out last year that Jonathan over at Edinburgh Watch Company got his grubby little mitts on, I really like that one. And this one is going to be a little bit easier. Well, maybe not a little bit easier, because this one's actually limited to 1,000 pieces as well. But no, I quite like it.
I don't like it.
No?
No, I think I prefer
the limited edition. Is that because they've not sent you a free one?
That's because they've not sent me a free one. Well, it is a standard rule. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not convinced. I think it might look better in the flesh and on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's photographed terribly well.
It's okay.
It doesn't, you know what? It almost looks like the photographs I'm seeing are renders.
Well, usually the renders look better, but I think it's actually all right. And I'm not a tag fan. Any way, shape or form. But this one here, it was to commemorate, obviously, the event that it's named after, which has been cancelled because that was supposed to have happened a week ago. But, you know, they already had the watches made, and a bit like Omega, might as well just release them. So they're out and about, apparently. And the good thing I liked with that is the price on it isn't astronomically crazy, considering in-house movement, vertical clutch, column wheel, and it's got an 80-hour power reserve, which seems really, really high for an automatic chronograph. Uh-huh. That's better than Rolex with a 70 plus, and it's only coming in at around about $5,500 UK, but it is limited to 1,000 pieces, and it'll be out in August. Also available via their website, and not just boutiques.
You've talked me into it.
Get one, Rick. You like it's those limited edition pieces, don't you?
It's all right. Yeah. It's all right.
And if you don't like that one, they've also got a greenie that's out. It's a Formula One, and I don't know if it's Australia only. I heard about it through the Time and Tide guys via their website.
Uh-huh.
Quite a crazy looking little thing. It's racing green sunburst, but not British racing green, which is actually shit. British racing green is a horrible colour. It's like out of date fence paint.
How dare you? How dare you? I love British Racing Green.
Why?
Dream car. It's because it's lovely, because it's really nice. There used to be a...
You're colourblind, Rick. Remember that?
I'm not green colourblind. I am...
Red and blue.
Rolex Bezel GMT.
You sure it wasn't Petty a Tudor?
Colourblind. It was a Tudor, but, you know, people... I suppose the colours are... Actually, the colours aren't even vaguely the same.
No.
Maybe that's what the problem is. Maybe somebody at Rolex is actually colourblind and thought that red was actually red and not fuchsia.
Well, if you go Rolex, you can have a nice pink and purple Pepsi these days, so I suppose you're right.
True.
Do you secretly work for Rolex's design department?
Then that's the reason why all the colours are skew-whiff. Talking of skew-whiff, and we'll come on to the paint issue with Rolex in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to say, British Racing Green, there used to be a convertible V12 Jaguar XJS British Racing Green with a brown tan top, just was absolute bee's knees. Brilliant car. Great car to drive as well.
Was it not the Jag, or maybe been the probably the Jag it was? It was in the Bond movie with Pierce Brosnan, which was on ice. That was a kind of British racing green colour thing with rockets on
it. Yeah, but that was an XK8, I think. Mm. Certainly wasn't an XGS.
No.
It was an XK8. Used to drive an XGS, a silver one, and there was something wrong with the way the gearbox was joined to the gear stick, which meant that the gear stick moved up and down slightly.
The flange was too big.
It just made it feel like you were really driving, because everything moved while you were going quickly in this car. As you looked over the 25-foot bonnet, it was the most impossible car to park, because it was pre-parking sensors, and you literally had no idea where any of the edges of this car was.
Mm.
And even opening the door to look out behind it did not help, because of the way the wings stuck out, because of the way the wings over the wheel stuck out. You still couldn't see the rear bumper. It was an impossible car to park, but it was a cool car.
That's why you've got a butler to do those things for you.
Exactly. Okay, so Rolex, well, maybe you talk through, because you know, I've seen the pictures of this, but I've not watched the video. Was this a Watchfinder video?
Oh yeah. So Watchfinder, they do produce probably the best videos, although having listened to a few of the recent ones, they love pushing it over the 10-minute mark with filling them full of random gibberish and the history of something it's not really associated, just so they can push it past the post again. But they've done a video that talks about a £1,000 Rolex fake versus buying a £1,000 genuine Swiss watch. And I think it was a Tissot, it wasn't a Longines, it was a Tissot, I believe, versus this Pepsi GMT. and they're comparing and contrasting, and they zoom in on the fake Rolex, and you know, it's really well put together, and they show you the tip of the GMT hand, and this is something that was on a previous Watchfinder video where they show the genuine one, and it almost looks like cast off blood spatter from a CSI flick, because it isn't painted all that well, especially in the one they obviously showed, whereas on the fake, the painting on the hand is bang on. And I was watching this and I'm remembering back, they did a previous video saying there's these Omega Seamaster fakes that are almost indistinguishable, even when they come to boutiques, they get sent back to Omega for service, and it's only when they split them, they say, actually, this is a fake. And the odd thing is, I don't remember any Richemont watches been featured in Watchfinder that are fakes.
Oh, why would that be?
I don't know, Rick. Hold on, who owns Watchfinder?
Oh, that would be Richemont Group.
Oh, right.
So do we think there's an undercurrent here?
I'm not saying a thing. I don't have expensive lawyers.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to Watchfinder's featuring of Richemont brand fakes. Maybe it's just that nobody sells enough of them. To be fair, because obviously the most faked Richemont brand is Panerai, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Have Watchfinder never done a Panerai fake?
No.
Because Panerai fakes are, and Cartier, I mean, they're pretty ubiquitous, mm-hmm. are they not? So, yeah, that's quite an interesting observation. Well done.
Why, thank you.
For paying attention. I'm just looking at the YouTube channel. So the YouTube channel header now features an IWC, a Panerai. I'm not sure what that other watch is. Hold on, I'm trying to zoom in. For those of you to catch up, we've cut out the last 5 minutes of the show because we've been obsessively looking, trying to figure out what this watch is, and we actually have no idea.
No.
And we feel like we should, so we're just going to swiftly cut and move on to something else because we can't figure it out.
Speaking Ricky. Of cutting and moving on, the guys at Baselworld are cutting and moving on with their name. And in a move reminiscent of something that happened in the past, they have decided game's a bogey. This name's shit. Everybody hates us. We're taking our ball and we're heading off. So news went out a couple of days ago that Baselworld, as of 2021 onwards, is no longer. So yeah, they are going to be changing the name. And I was trying to think of names that would be quite good for them to change to. And I was thinking the Sellafield Show would be quite a good name.
Why?
Remember when Windscale changed their name?
Uh-huh.
To all Sellafield, right. Just to get away from all the bad PR.
All the accidents. So this is the name of a nuclear power station in the UK.
That went tits up.
Well, maybe somebody can answer me this question while they're at it. There was, so we're going to have posted this watch that we can't figure out what it is for somebody to answer.
Yeah.
Also, I found it. It's a Tag.
No way.
It's a Tag Heuer Carrera 1887 Bullhead Chronograph.
No way.
That's cool. So having slagged off Tag, I'm actually quite liking
this. Hold on, is this turning out to be the Tag Show?
This is the Tag Show.
This is,
I mean,
the
last
tag
week
show.
I was talking about Tag Thousands that have really taken my attention on Chrono 24. These are quite cool. Let's just become a Tag Show.
Sounds good. Although the photos that aren't the header graphic on the Watchfinder page on YouTube are shitter because the middle of the dial is a lot brighter than it makes out on that header. So it's not quite as good.
Okay.
Do you not think?
The one I'm seeing. But I'll need to have a look around. Anyway, what were we talking about?
We're talking about Basil deciding to ditch their name.
Basil, yes, doing a Prince and deciding that they were now the artist of the watch show formerly known as Basil.
Mm-hmm. We need to come up with like a kind of wee squiggle.
What was the Baselworld logo?
Never had one. It was just text with a kind of funny A.
Yeah, no, they've changed their name, which seems kind of pointless to announce that you're changing the name before you announce A, what you're changing your name to, and B, what you're going to do with the rest of your lives. The share price is still in the gutter.
Hold on, is this a midnight flitting where they're just going to ditch the old company, Phoenix a new one with a new name, and go, hey guys, how's it going? Listen, do you want to give us some more money?
Yeah, do we think we might be, what about Geneva World?
Geneva World,
What about PAL Expo Hall 4 and 5 World? Because I think the new show in Geneva has 3 out of the 9 halls. So there's another 6 available.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 Baselworld Hall 6 or something. Yeah, I think Baselworld in Geneva. It's like Dubai Watch Week in London.
Yeah, that was a little bit strange.
Baselworld in Geneva.
Anyway, I've got some more funny stuff to chat about here.
Go on, yes.
I found a pretty interesting and funny video on the interwebs in a group on Facebook I didn't realise I was still part of, called Invicta Cruisers. So I was in Invicta Cruisers by accident. because I don't go there on purpose. Uh-huh. And a post went up saying, hey guys, did you happen to see the Invicta show on whatever bloody channel it's on in America? And the logo fell off the watch as they were showing it to the camera. And everybody was like, no, really? Somebody had a screen capture of it, and it shows the presenter holding the watch, rotating it around, and true enough, the little Breitling rip-off logo falls right to the bottom of the inside of the case. And I post this in our little Hotix group as a bit of a laugh, and I didn't realise you were going to then steal it, repurpose it, and stick it on Instagram, sticking it up Invicta's arse.
I was surprised that you hadn't done that, but maybe that's because you're an Invicta owner. Maybe you were asleep, but no. I was surprised that your first move was not to post it to our Instagram account, so I've posted it to the Instagram account, and doing very well it is.
No, it is. It's so phenomenally
if
well.
If you want to go and... if you want to go and see that little video, then you can do that. I was tempted to post the other video that's been doing the rounds in our Hotix WhatsApp group that was sent to me courtesy of Tick Tick Vroom and Arthur, who discovered the original source. I'm not going to post it yet. We'll play around with it. We'll tease him for a little while longer. Which shows the source of Adrian from Bark and Jack's original show music and where he repurposed it from, a certain advertising campaign for a male grooming product. I think it's probably the best way to describe it.
A grooming product or an engorging pill?
Oh, whatever. Anyway, there were certain things I didn't need to know, and I didn't need to know that.
Did you watch the video?
Thanks to TikTok. Did I watch the video? Well, I watched the video, and then I thought, because he'd been watching it, he claims he was watching a TV show with Stephanie. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced. But anyway, mm-hmm. he claims that him and Steph were watching a TV show, and this advert came out and had the same theme music, so he very quickly filmed the TV. So what I thought I'd do is Google brand name, find their YouTube or Twitter account, and see if I get a higher quality video of the product.
Good
that thing. Took me down a rabbit hole that I did not wish to go down. So there we go. But we'll maybe post that in a couple of weeks' time. We'll tease folk on for a wee while. I don't know if Arthur's posted it on his at Tick Tick Vroom Instagram account or not, but I'm not posting it ours.
No, he's not a big troll. But speaking of big trolls, you had a lot of fun on my Facebook page. Well, actually, before we talk about that, did we talk about the newsagent in Glasgow that is currently running an advertising campaign of sponsored posts on Facebook talking about watch repairs? And this is a newsagent, and it talks about watch repairs. And the text in the advert was so bizarre that I just had to jump in. They were offering replacement batteries and waterproof replacement batteries for your watches.
Yep.
So I just jumped in and sort of wrote a comment on their post asking how much it would cost to change the tourbillon on my Casio F91W. And they replied.
Yep. And then... they did reply.
And they said they would have to see the watch first before they could give me an estimate.
We should actually now secret film taking in a really expensive watch and see what they do.
Hit it with a hammer. That's what they would do. I posted this on our Instagram page and also on Facebook, and a few people got in on the act. You got in the act asking about a code 1159 repair, and Ted Hunter, who's in our Facebook group, he jumped in there to ask, what was it he said again? He said something along the lines of, how much would it cost to put a new battery in his Panerai Speedy Tuesday? And they've replied back saying, hi Ted, thanks for getting in touch. Such a beautiful watch. Unfortunately, we don't hold seals for those ones to make them waterproof again at the moment. So I don't know if they knew the gig was up and they had a clue by mentioning seals for a Speedy Tuesday, because obviously they're so waterproof straight out of the factory. But no, that was a bit of fun. And then the biggest thing ever happened to me on Facebook, and that was on Sunday night. In the UK.
Oh, I'd forgotten about
this. How could you forget?
I'd forgotten all about this.
Well, you shouldn't have, because you were instrumental in the downfall here. So Sunday night, our great leader, apparently, Boris Johnson, told everyone to stay home but go to work. And and this has been mocked and ridiculed everywhere.
In the most confusing statement since Baselworld said they were changing their name.
Yes. All over the shop. Nicola Sturgeon, who runs Scotland, basically says, don't listen to that oaf. But he put a new graphic out. Instead of the whole, you know, stay at home, protect the NHS and shave your wife, it was all kinds of stuff like that. He changed it to stay alert. So I took the graphic, repurposed it and put some funny text on it, uploaded it to Facebook as I do, and people were like, ha ha ha, always good. Then a 5G conspiracy nutter, who I must have had on my friends list. No, I did have on my friends list, because I know exactly who she is, although I'm trying to back away from it quickly, decided to launch into a tirade One message went up in the post. Then a second reply to her own message went up. Then a third reply in quick succession. Basically calling me a government shill, being paid by the government to disinform and keep all the people on Facebook asleep to the truth. And I read this and thought, this is a reply to somebody else's post, because I've not posted anything. I've not wound anybody up. And you can testify to that, because I didn't do a thing wrong. And I just replied and said, who's this for? And she replied back, you. And I thought, what have I done? So I asked what I'd done, and she gave me all kinds of abuse. I said, I'm not 100% sure on any of this stuff. You know fine well, you're very well in the loop, blah, blah, blah. And this kicked off all my friends, and I've got loads of contacts through nightclubs, wedding industry, all kinds of places. They all piled in, and not one person got on this girl's side. She was against the world, she said.
Except me, to be fair, I was on her side.
You tried, but I mean, she would jump in immediately and started saying, are you an idiot? Do you believe COVID-19 is real? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? 5G, all kinds of stuff, anti-vax. She went full retard, as Robert Downey Jr. would say.
The only thing is, she was right about one thing.
Her money watches are shit.
Well, she was also right about the whole print money thing. But that's because the important thing about money is you mustn't think about how... Anyone who's a fundamental economist will tell you the key thing about money, and if you like, banknotes, is not to think long and hard about how it works. Because as soon as you think about long and hard how this is actually working, you realise it shouldn't work.
Rick, you're taking the funny out of my story. No one gives a f*** about the currency part. We're not talking about that, right? We're talking about the funny lady
funny
on my Facebook page. So anyway, this continued for 3 hours, 3 full hours, hundreds of people involved versus this one chick. I jumped into our Hotix group on WhatsApp and said, guys, quick, get on my Facebook. This is going down. You jumped in and pretended to be her friend. And you were being friendly, and you're being all nice, and she thought she had a little pal with you, and then you started saying things like, I mean, I know the corruption with the government and all the elites, I mean, they're running around on their yachts with Rolex watches, and we can't get a hold of them, we're having to settle for Hublots. And she was like, yes, exactly, right, correct. Then Ted, who we've just mentioned, who's a great little troll in training, he jumped in, started asking silly questions, Nairn got in the act and started dropping brand names of watches. It was just an absolute shit show. Went on for 3 hours, around about the 2 hour mark, I thought, she's going to have a nervous breakdown and delete all her messages at some point. So I went in and screen captured the full lot, 700 messages, 14 minutes of video scrolling through it. And then she did.
Okay.
2 in the morning, she jumps on, sends me a nice polite message. Hi Ricky, I was just wondering if you could possibly delete your comment thread, because since you wrote it, I can't just go in and press one button and delete it all. And I ignored her. So she spent the next 2 hours going in and individually deleting every single one of her comments.
Oh, is that
one
right?
By one.
I didn't realise she'd asked you to delete it.
Oh yeah, she did. And then I got up in the morning and went into Facebook, and she sent me a message saying, I see you. You've read my message. I asked you to delete that comment thread and you didn't, so I'm going to report you to Facebook.
Because that's how it works.
Yeah, you cause a fool of yourself. You write a lot of shit, you slander off 2 lawyers, 1 policeman and multiple medical professionals who are trying to have a conversation with you, telling them that they're all c**ts and all kinds of stuff, taking the piss out of them because they went to university, telling people that work at Spa that they're low lives and that they're lower class. Oh, it was mental. So I just blocked her, and that was that. That was the craziest thing I have seen on Facebook ever. And so many people got in touch to say that was great comedy on a Sunday night. So there we go. Yeah,
it was. It was very, very funny. And we have video, yes?
We do, but I'm being careful with it because a couple of our friends got in touch to say, yeah, sorry about that.
So do we not think we could post it? We'll post it to the Minor Scottish Watches podcast YouTube site.
We can't. No, I'm not going to do
all
that.
The slightly, no.
No, because she did go the full Tropic Thunder.
Full Tonto.
She just, yeah, she went to the moon and back. Let's not wind up crazy any more than we already have done. But that was
does she know you well enough to know where you live? Is that the problem?
No, but people accuse me of sleeping with her. They're like, Ricky, you're famous for putting your dick in crazy. Is this one of yours? I'm like, no, not at all. I think I met her maybe at some wedding thing, because she's a makeup artist. She does health and beauty.
Yeah, she's a made-up artist.
Yeah. So that was insane.
Can we not like put the video in a private section and then people
can pay us? No, we can't, because
behind
it's got her name all over it, and it's a very unique name.
We'll put it behind the paywall. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't want to cause, like, she's obviously had some issues that she unravelled all over my page.
Issues with alcohol and drugs, probably late at night, not having enough sleep, being locked in.
True, but no, I'm being good. But I do have a question for you here. Mm-hmm. You know how you're quite adept at borrowing things and not returning them and whatnot.
Yes.
Did you steal your intro from Dominic Diamond?
No, under no circumstances did I steal anything from that little bod. Actually, I'm a big I used to be a big Dominic Diamond fan. To be honest, when you sent me that message, I thought Dominic Diamond had died. I thought he was dead. I thought he was one of these, you know, lived fast, died young types.
He nearly did. Right. Well, anyway, let's put the listeners in the picture. So Dominic Diamond, for anyone that doesn't know, shot to stardom in the UK in the 90s by being on the first TV show to do with video games, which really caught fire and did well, called Games Master. And he was propelled to stardom instantaneously at the age of like 21, 22, and enjoyed himself, wink, wink, throughout the 90s. Now, he kind of disappeared from my peripheral vision because he got into sports commentating and radio stuff and all the rest of it, but then went to Canada because football thugs in Glasgow, his words not mine, were basically putting bricks through his window because he supports the green and white team in Glasgow, and certain people were not happy about
that. That's not why they put bricks through his window, because he's called Dominic and he spells his name with a K at the end.
See, people that spell their names with K's, it's horrible, isn't it?
if only we could get... never mind, moving on.
Yeah, so anyway, Dominic Diamond popped up on a podcast that I listened to called The Retro Hour. It's all about retro gaming and computer systems and stuff like that, because, hey, watches are ancient technology. I might as well look at some computer technology that's out of date as well. And he was interviewed, and there was a walk down memory lane about when I was at school and I used to watch him playing games with Patrick Moore and all the rest of it. So it was good. And he mentioned he's doing Twitch streaming now. So I went on to his Twitch stream and just watched one random thing, and it was gold. Not only did he start his show by saying welcome, 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 which is the only person I've ever heard say that, especially with a Scottish accent, been the same age as you, Rick, same glasses and same look. So that happened.
He's 50, by the way. Dominic Diamond's 50. How did that happen?
I know. And then the sort of the piece de resistance was when he starts talking about doing a segment on his show where he'd spotted on his newsfeed that Bob Hoskins had died. So he spent a bit of time doing a bit of research about Bob Hoskins, you know, his films and all the rest of it, and did a sort of 5-minute piece to camera on his show saying it's a shame that this guy's died, you know, he was a great guy and all the rest of it. And then just at the end of his little piece, out the corner of his eye, he spots the date on the news article as being 2014 and has a meltdown on the show, laughing his head off, saying, oh my God, I can't believe that Bob Hoskins died so many years ago. And it reminded me of you and your eulogy for Roger Moore.
Hold on. It reminded me of you. You're the one that made the Roger Moore mistake.
Me?
Not me.
No.
Yes.
Was it me?
You're the one that claimed he was dead. I went along with it.
So you agreed?
Yeah.
Co-conspirator. Right?
Yeah, because that's how it works.
So Dominic Diamond. I
conspired to imagine that somebody hadn't died.
There's something going on here, because either you and Dominic Diamond are linked, or you're stealing his stuff, or he's stealing your stuff, or you're in cahoots.
Well, I'm going to email him and find out.
Well, I'm waiting for 5 o'clock today, and I'm going to go on his Twitch stream and I'm going to pull him up.
We should do that. Let's get Dominic Diamond. Do we think, wait, okay, hold on a second. Are there any photographs of Dominic Diamond wearing a watch? Dominic Diamond.
I am not sure.
Yeah.
But no, I've checked out a few of his Twitch streams, and they are funny, and there's a lot of dick and fart jokes. So it's a bit like our podcast. So quite funny. And he was telling me about, not telling me, God, as if this must be what it's like for our listeners when they hear us talking. They're like, oh, he was telling me stuff. No, he wasn't. Not at all. He was telling the listeners about different things that had happened. He was talking about different questions and things he would put on radio and his shows. And one of the questions was, how many fingers?
You delete that as well.
Why? No, I'm not deleting that at all. So what he would do is he'd have listeners phone in and guess how many fingers he was holding up, because it was a radio show. And the people that won would win a prize. And I thought, that's a great idea. We should do this in the podcast and run competitions like that. Like, what colour of t-shirt am I wearing?
Yeah, because that's never going to go anywhere bad.
Anyway, there's some new watches out. And there's one that I like the look of. And again, there's a theme running here, guys. It's a square watch this time.
It's a tag?
Nope, it's from Bell & Ross. It's the BR03-92 HUD Limited Edition. And I'd mentioned way back, I'd spotted a Bell and Ross. It wasn't new, and it was the Red Radar, I think, some kind of name like that, and it looks like a sweeping radar screen due to the way that they do their, not mystery hands, but they do sapphire glass discs instead of hands sometimes. And this is very much the same. It has got a crystal that's tinted green, and it's reminiscent of a cockpit HUD, like you mentioned. Limited to just under 1,000 pieces, and the hour hand marker is printed on a disc, so it's not a hand, whereas all the rest of it are. And I quite like the look of this one.
Yeah, it's quite cool. I actually think this might be better if it was round.
No.
If they hadn't used a square case for it.
What makes you think that?
I think it might have been a bit of a seller.
Right.
I mean, it's $4,000, PVD coated. It is cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nightclub watch, let's face it.
How?
Well, in that it's going to look best under blue light, presumably. So in your case, it's a gym watch.
Right.
Oh, it's limited edition 999 pieces.
Are you just repeating the limited edition number that I just mentioned a minute ago when I said it's a touch under 1,000?
I was too. Well, it's exactly one under 1,000 at 999.
Technically correct.
See, we're all about accuracy in this particular show.
We should all have quartz watches then. Now, this is quite nice. Out June 2020, we will see 999 pieces, and no, I quite like it. And you're wrong, Rick, it's not PVD, it's actually ceramic. So this is the show that is full of absolute truths and nothing but the truth.
I beg to differ.
Really? Go for it. I'm waiting.
It comes in a black rubber strap with a... Oh, right, it's a PVD-coated pin buckle, but a ceramic case.
Oh, so moving swiftly on, okay. Rick, one all... Oh God!
Right, go on.
Have you got any other stuff to talk about? Because I've got some more watches we can preview. But if you want to talk about something else,
well, we talked about this very briefly, but I've now seen the proper pictures of it, which is this Mont Blanc, the blue version of the Geosphere.
Oh,
very nice.
It is nice, isn't it?
Quite a lot.
Yeah,
I think I prefer this one to the green.
I do as well.
I think I may even prefer it to the bronze, which is a watch I had paid money for but never arrived, so got my money back.
Oh, really? What happened to the Zenith Inventor story?
Yeah, we'll not go into that just now. That's in delicate negotiations.
Oh, okay. Do you think somebody at Zenith heard about coronavirus and thought, thank fuck for that?
Great excuse. let's just say, we're unable to release these to the general public because we've had to focus, now that we're getting the factory back up and working on producing all the stuff that we normally produce in larger quantities. Mm-hmm. So I think we're expecting that kind of press release any day now.
Cool.
We'll see. Tutima, I've got a new watch. It's quite interesting. The Tutima M2 Coastline Chronograph.
Who?
Tutima.
Who's that?
It's a watch brand. They're quite cool. They're kind of Sin type. Esque.
I heard of that one before.
Yeah, good luck. I think you quite like them.
And what one are we looking at here?
The M2 Coastline Chronograph.
Okay.
43mm, a steel bracelet.
It actually looks like they've ripped off the Fratello logo. That's pretty scary. That's very close to the Fratello logo. Like, go and check now.
Okay, hold on a second.
Are we getting ourselves involved in another court case as I speak?
Right, okay, I see. I am looking at the watch and I'm just looking at, I'm not looking at the logo, I'm looking at the written logo, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Yeah, look at the logo and the way the top of the letter is scored
indeed.
Out.
Yes,
yep.
I agree. It is quite similar.
Mm. All right then. Anyway, this watch, tell us about it before we get in bother again.
7750, so base calibre, uh-huh. all the usual stuff, 200 metres, titanium, push buttons.
So it's a watch?
With black... It's a watch. Oh. It's quite a cool-looking watch.
I like the pushers.
Yeah. The pushers are cool on it.
They look like, it's like accelerator pedals.
Accelerator pedals. They're coated, black PVD coated. I assume they're rubber, are they? With rubber inlays, maybe?
Yes.
Sure. They look like they've kind of got that, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Super Luminova, etc., etc. Titanium pin buckle.
This is why people tune in for our watch talk, etc., etc. Fill in the gaps,
and
folks.
The other stuff. Yes. The gaps ourselves. Yeah, come on. Don't expect us to do all the heavy lifting. Don't be ridiculous.
That's quite nice. And where did this? Oh, they're German. Ah, obviously, given away by the fact it's going to shoot underneath.
That's the clue.
Yeah. What do I think of this? Not much. Now,
okay.
What colour? There's various different ones here. I'm seeing one with a kind of brown leather strap with a blue dial.
I think it comes with both the new release. I think you get the strap with it potentially, or you can choose. If you want one, go and find a shop that sells them and ask them to ask me. The M2 Coastline Chronograph. It comes with either the titanium bracelet or a brown leather strap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, apart from that stolen Fratello logo, looks not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done. You found some stuff to talk about, Rick, that wasn't complete shit. Good on you. Now, for the ladies in your life, of which there are many, you could be out there getting them a nice new timepiece. And Omega have stepped up to the bar. They have got some new tracers. Have you seen these?
Yes.
Oh, they're right, okay. You're not a fan.
Well, I mean, why would you bother?
Right, okay. Omega's a good brand. They are not tiny. Carry on.
5 grand, though.
Well, five grand USD, which is what, about 2 grand British? Something like that? I don't know.
39 mil.
Yeah, exactly. 39 mil. So it's not a tiny little dainty piece.
Yeah, it's a quartz for £5,000.
Hello, Cartier.
That's like Mr. G. That's like Mr. G territory.
Did we figure out if it was Mr. G or MRG? Did we figure that one out?
No, I've not had an answer to that yet. So you can buy an Omega Tresor for 5 grand or a quartz or a Mr. G Casio quartz for 5 grand as well.
Cartiers are pretty much quartz, are they not?
Yeah, but it's a Cartier.
Yeah, but you can get these Tresors in moonshine gold, like that Apollo 11 that Dave's got, which is really, really cool looking gold.
Yeah, but, and again, I refer the honourable gentleman to the answer I gave some moments ago. It's an Omega, not a Cartier.
Yeah. Well, here's some stats for you as well.
You give your girlfriend an Omega with diamonds on it, and she's going to go, that's very nice.
Listen, the only thing I give my girlfriend is syphilis.
But with a Cartier, and she's going to go, oh, you bought me a Cartier. In both cases, the watches is irrelevant to the girlfriend you're giving it to if she doesn't have an interest in watches. But on one, it's an Omega, nice watch, it's got diamonds. And she goes, diamonds, nice watch, gold, like that. The other one, you give it to her and she goes, oh, it's a Cartier. And that's the difference. One has brand recognition amongst people that know nothing about watches.
No. I think if I was to get a watch, I'm going to be very careful here because this might come back and bite me in the arse and remove sexual favours in the future. But right. I would say, probably in today's...
You consider being bitten in the arse sexual favour. Okay, that's fine. Let's move swiftly on.
Well, better than you with things going in. Never mind. So I think nowadays you may be wrong, because if somebody doesn't know much about watches, then they'd probably be quite enticed by a Michael Kors.
No, yes. I think they understand that Cartier is better than Michael Kors.
Well, depends again. I fish in a pool of younger fishes than probably you associate with. So
I don't do any fishing.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, this is a nice watch from Omega. And when I was reading through the details and the specs, there was some information in there that was quite illuminating. And it turns out that the bulk of Omega sales, over 40%, are in women's watches. And I didn't think it would be quite as skewed as that. I thought that would have been a much less percentage than it turns out to be.
No, I mean, Omega and Rolex are all in the kind of somewhere between 40 and 50% are women's watches.
Never thought that.
The Omega watch you buy is just because it's slightly cheaper than the equivalent Rolex.
Is it because Rolex don't have any stock?
Well, to be fair, they generally do have stock of women's watches.
Really?
Well, in my limited experience. To be fair, the one thing that Omega are good at is on the women's watches, they do make some larger sizes of watches that are diamond, whereas
that was the thing Rolex, I liked
a lot of them are quite small.
We've spoken to Catelyn in the past about things. She always didn't like the fact that, well, a couple of things, it's mainly quartz and the sizing of it. And 39 mil for a women's watch, I thought that was pretty decent, because it's bridging the gap between just buying a, I don't know if it would even be called a unisex watch, a watch that's predominantly worn by gentlemen, and ladies then trying them out. Although, I don't know. It is a lot of dosh, but if only we had some women we could chat to about this. If only.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a couple of high flyers in the watch world, and we'll say nothing more in case the recordings don't happen. But yeah, we shall get some comments and feedback on this very
subject. It's okay.
Subject.
If they know, sure, we'll just replace them with the two cats and no one will know the difference. Actually, no, they will know the difference.
Oh, because it'll be higher quality, obviously. Yes. Shout out to the girls at 10 and 2 who are doing really good. They're marching right ahead. they're doing really, really well. And we're always in communication with those guys there. Check out their podcast, 10 and 2, spelled T-E-N-N and 2 T-W-O. They're part of the Hotix Network, along with Adrian at Bark and Jack. He put out a really good video that was really good and then really pissed me off. And it was State of the Collection 2020.
I've not watched this one yet.
Well, the reason it's really pissed me off is we recorded a talk show with them that we will be editing probably within the next couple of weeks, because they do take forever because they're an hour long. And he basically repeated all the same stuff in his video as he does in the talk show. And I'm thinking, take the wind out of my sails, why don't you? The only good side of it is I can steal all my B-roll straight out of his collection
from his video.
Yeah, so he has saved me a little bit of time. But go check that one out, and then you can hear us absolutely slam Adrian for an hour and ask all the hard questions that people want to know about what he's been up to. But no, that's a good video. And should we just round this one off by talking about one last watch from our favourite brand ever, Zenith, the Chronomaster Revival Shadow, that came out about a week and a bit ago there. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
It's a big monolithic slab that looks unfinished. It reminds me of the Western film that was parodying Back to the Future, where Clint Eastwood has got a boiler front cover strapped to his chest. And the way the strap on this Zenith looks, it reminds me of that. It just doesn't really fit.
Yeah, all right, okay.
It's like when they make a car design and they start with a block of cheese and then they start cutting bits out, and it's very, I don't know, square looking. That's what this kind of reminds me of. So it's based in some kind of early 70s prototype. Where have we heard that before? Tudor.
And Tudor.
It's been apparently designed the same spec as original El Primero. Which came out in the late 60s, 69. And for me, just a little bit too industrial. Looks like a slab of granite. Although it isn't PVD, before you say it's PVD, it's actually microblasted titanium, so it won't scuff up as much.
It's the strap that's the problem.
Yeah, it's an afterthought.
It does appear like, what, we've built this really cool looking thing, but we've not really got anything metallic to go with it. Rummage around in the parts bucket. It's the fact that it's got, I don't know what you call, what do you call those bits of thread that are on the ends of those kind of straps? You know how you get the thread at the end where they loop it over, where it's back sewed in itself? It's a common feature of kind of those sort of straps.
If only we knew somebody that ran a strap company that we could contact and ask.
Yeah, but we don't speak to him anymore.
No, not since he shafted us with that video.
Yeah, honestly, the watch looks nice, but the strap looks like it's been bought. Actually, the strap looks like it's been bought from Adrian. Mm-hmm. It looks like a good strap.
Wrong watch.
But it looks like someone. But it looks like somebody's bought a strap to try on their, you know, as a spare strap to try on a number of watches, and they've tried it on this, and shortly they're going to realise it doesn't work. It's the wrong colour. I don't think it should be black, for starters. I think either it needs to be a completely bonkers colour with a little colour swatch on the watch itself, or it needs to be a grey strap, or possibly even a white strap, believe it or not. Or it needs to, they need to have built a bracelet, proper bracelet for it. The lugs don't work either.
Because it looks like an integrated bracelet-style watch.
Yeah, but I can't see how with those lugs you could ever realistically have built a bracelet for it. Mm-hmm. Even a non-integrated one. This doesn't add up. How much is this thing?
A lot.
I bet you it's a fortune.
Yeah, it's about $8,000 USD.
Yeah, I suspect it wears quite nice. I suspect it'll be quite neat.
I think what's happened is the guys at Zenith were sitting there and they're like, this inventor thing, it's just not happening, and those guys from Scottish Watches are going to attack us again, so we need to put something out just to kind of distract them, and this is what they brought out, and it kind of backfired
also,
on them.
Also, the gap, like, the lugs are too short or too long, I'm not honestly sure, but the gap between where the spring bar hole is, with the strap, I mean, you could fit a pound coin through that gap.
Well, Rick, it's come to that sad, sad time.
Sad, sad time, TM, Tubert Watch Knobs.
Yep, shoutouts. So I think we should tell people that, again, if you're not following us on Instagram, we would like you to do so, because once we get to 10,000 followers, we're able to directly link to our articles, to our videos, to our posts. And at the moment, we can't do that. We've got to keep going in and editing the bio. Just go and follow us. You know, we don't post that much stuff, and when we do, it's generally quite funny. Sometimes it's a little bit humorous, and it's a little bit, I don't know, technically accurate, not like this podcast. So go do that. Also get onto Facebook, like our page, join our group. There's lots of cool stuff in there. It seems to have a bit of a twist. It's either something to do with Scotland or something to do with watches, but never anything really to do with Scottish watches. But maybe you can come in and you can fix that for us. And if you've got any ideas for future shows, if there's any news, things that are coming out, funny stories, anything at all to do with that, get in touch with us. Check out the website. We've got lots of articles that are going to be coming on there soon. And you can check out previous episodes of the podcast there, videos and everything else. Anything else you want to say, Rick?
And you can also, if you have a smart speaker in your house, just ask it to play Scottish Watches. So if I go, Alexa, play Scottish Watches, it should now play Scottish Watches, the latest episode. So you can speak to your computer because there's nobody else in your lockdown house for you to speak to. There you go.
That is pretty good. So you can just talk to yourself.
Talk to yourself because nobody else, which is pretty much what I do in this show anyway.
But it is.
Nobody's really listening.
I'm just a figment of your imagination, Rick.
The more that this lockdown goes on, the more I believe that we're living inside a computer game.
I've said that. Well, Mr. Musk has been saying this for a while, the whole we're living in a simulation, and statistically probability of that is quite high. So yeah, the graphics are quite good most of the time.
It's like a bad Douglas Adams novel. Although there isn't really such a thing. No, Douglas Adams, big fan.
Fair enough. So that is that. So check out the YouTube channel as well, Scottish Watches. And Rick has made a separate YouTube channel called Scottish Watches Podcast, is it?
That's where all the really rubbish stuff goes. And we also upload there the audio versions of the podcast to YouTube.
Yeah.
So if you prefer listening to this on YouTube, go and search for Scottish Watches Podcast as opposed to the main Scottish Watches channel.
Yep.
And you can subscribe there. There's only about 30 people subscribe there, to be fair. It's definitely not a money spinner.
No.
But none of this is a money spinner, to be fair. No. So check that out.
Yep.
So yeah, goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.